from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Shane and Dable, they're safe. After watching Hard Knocks, they're safe. She's on the line now? I didn't see the... I'm sorry. Charlotte Carroll from The Athletic, covering your New York Giants. I didn't see the screen pop up with your name. There's just the one over there. I did not realize you're on the line. I saw my producer working on it. I thought he was still calling you. Welcome back, Charlotte.
Hey, thanks so much for having me back on.
I mean, perfect time. Did you hear any of the little bit of the Giants rant that I was going on?
Oh, I heard it. I wasn't going to interrupt that one.
So we'll start there. The thing I'm talking about right now is like, okay, if Daniel Jones is gun shy, right, if he's worried about his knee and his neck, there's guys in the NFL that are big, fast, strong, and they're coming for him. We obviously know there are guys in the NFL that play defense that don't respect him. I mean, he is up against it. Out of all the challenges he's faced, this is his biggest one. How long is the leash on Daniel Jones if he's not getting it done? If he's not throwing the ball into the end zone? If he's not scoring touchdowns? We just were talking about the secondary. We'll get there in a minute, but I think there's going to be some games where you're going to have to keep up. You're going to have to keep pace. This Giants defense is not going to be able to necessarily hold teams. How long is the leash on Daniel Jones if he's not performing this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing to take into consideration just going off of this weekend is it was his first game action, excuse me, back from tearing that ACL. So obviously things are going to be a little rusty. It wasn't pretty. There was some bad decision-making. He got progressively better as the second quarter wore on and decision-making was better. He had that long throw to Darius Slayton. But when it comes time to the season, I think, yes, there's going to be a high focus on his decision-making, what he can do, what that looks like. I don't know what that looks like, how many games, if they decide to keep going with, as you said, the Tommy Cutlets experience, what that kind of entails. Drew Lock hasn't necessarily always looked much better than Daniel Jones in practice. I mean, Daniel has at times looked good throughout training camp. So I don't know. It's kind of like they didn't get their quarterback in the draft, so they kind of just have to deal with what they've got kind of a situation.
Yeah, you know, I've defended Daniel Jones, and I think I've been labeled as a Daniel Jones defender. I said the same thing. The guy hadn't played since, I don't know, last November, October, whatever it was.
Early November.
You know, it's his first live game action. I do feel like, you know, he was probably trying to not get hit or force it and make plays. It's exhibition. It's fine. Get it out of your system now. If it's going to happen, have it happen then. Learn from it and don't make the same mistakes. It's fine. It's fine. But, you know, when you talk about Drew Lock, I also said if Drew Lock doesn't get hurt in the first preseason game, maybe we don't see Daniel Jones so fast. Maybe we don't see him thrust into action. And I really do think that Brian Daboll does not want to do another year of the Tommy Cutlets, Tommy DeVito, Jersey guy. Like, I think he's over that. That's why they went and paid a Drew Lock. But before the season even started, I said there's almost a guarantee that Drew Lock is going to make a handful of starts, if not more. I don't think that that's the way that you go to win games. I just think that that's like inevitably where this is going to go, whether Daniel Jones is hurt or not performing. The only way that you stop a Drew Lock from making starts is if Daniel Jones stays healthy and balls out. And I can't, judging off the last five seasons, I can't say that that's something I would put a dollar on.
No, I mean, the health is a big concern. But what was promising was that the offensive line was actually competent on Saturday. Like, again, they were missing some key. The Texans were missing some key edge rushers. It's a preseason game. But the fact that they kept him up, he didn't get sacked, he had time to throw, that's at least promising when it comes to his health and being able to stay afloat this season. With Drew Lock getting hurt, I think Daniel Jones is always going to play this game. He needed to get preseason action before the regular season. He needed to get back out there. So he needed that. And Brian Daboll kind of changed some approaches throughout training camp this year. It's a little bit more kind of aggressive. There's a little bit more 11-on-11, not doing as much 7-on-7 compared to last year. So there's definitely been changes with camp go around. And part of that included giving the starters plenty of time this week to kind of gel and see what happens. Whether that's the case this weekend against the Jets, probably not. we'll see. But unlikely if we're kind of leaning on last year.
Yeah, great point about, you know, him needing to play and get back out there. So maybe he was going to play whether Locke was available or not. And also a great point about the offensive line. With the additions that they made on the offensive line, I think this might potentially maybe kind of be the best offensive line he's had. Where, you know, it's yet to be seen, but I think it's got a good shot to be. And I definitely know this is the best group of weapons as far as the wide receiver goes, obviously not in the backfield, that he's had. He has Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers hurts his ankle, comes out and plays, makes some good catches, and it's just obvious when you look at the guy that he's an alpha. He's a dog. He's somebody that's going to get open, and if Daniel Jones can get the ball to him, he'll be all right. So what do you think about the new additions to the offensive line from Illuminor to Runyon to Van Roten, or even now when we look at this receiving core with Malik Nabers and Hyatt and Wandale Robinson? Like, they have the guys on offense that I think they can score points. They can move the ball. Their offense can get going, but it all relies on Daniel Jones. What do you think about the additions around Daniel Jones?
Yeah, I'll start with the offensive line because I think since we were just talking about that, that's going to be the most important thing and kind of whether even Daniel can get the ball out quick enough to be able to throw it down the field if he'll have enough time to be able to use those weapons that were brought in for him. But it's looked good throughout camp. I mean, set of days, they're doing what they can. The biggest thing for them, I think, will be the consistency, and injuries derailed them so early last year, and that kind of plagued them a little bit throughout camp already. They've been able to kind of keep somewhat the same pieces together, but there's been John Michael Schmidt, starting center, was coming off a shoulder injury, missed some time this camp, and Runyon's been on the sidelines with this past week with a shoulder injury. So there's little things that are kind of, like, you know, added together. But the communication is better from what we've been kind of hearing. So that's promising. They are playing together more as a group from what I've been talking to people, kind of what they're saying. So we'll see if that holds up in game time against really good defensive lines and edge rushers. I don't know. We'll see. That's always the million-dollar question in New York, it feels like. And I haven't been around Daniel Jones' entire career here, but from what everyone's saying, this is that potential to be that Buffalo line. But on the receiving end, oh my God, it's so much fun to watch Malik Nabers in camp. And what's been really promising is that we saw him do what he's been doing in camp and game action on Saturday. We saw that kind of leaping acrobatic catch. He's been doing that all summer. So it's really exciting for Giants fans to watch that kind of translate into a game and know it's not just a practice thing. So that's really promising. And as a core, as a whole, to have that weapon, he's going to get targeted a lot.
So I was just talking to Richie in Queens about the Giants secondary. I had Dan Duggan on, I think, a week ago, and he told me that you guys kind of like split up offense, defense, different fields to cover. I don't know how much of a look you've gotten at the secondary. Can you tell us who's struggled? Can you tell us who's had a good camp? Can you maybe tell us who's, you know, potentially going to be a breakout star? I know they were in on potentially signing Stephon Gilmore, and he went to the Vikings, who they'll face week one. But yeah, I just feel like we need a little bit more insight on the defensive backs, on the corners and the safeties, especially after, you know, they lose Julian Love 2 years ago, Xavier McKinney. Like, this is going to be a different looking secondary for the Giants. And in the NFL, I mean, these guys are going to be one-on-one. There's going to be potential for big plays if they're not ready as a unit to go.
Definitely. I think with all the hype about Malik Nabers and the quarterback situation this offseason, the secondary, at least up until this point, had kind of taken a backseat of just how, like, kind of thin in depth that had gotten. And it's still kind of the case. Injuries have been, that's a consistent theme in camp, I feel like, that's been a problem for the Giants, especially at corner. They've been, Cordell Flott missed some time, so he's kind of had him to step out of that, you know, QB2 battle. We've got Deontay Banks coming off a rookie year. He had a good year, but he's going to be asked to step up into this number one spot. Is he ready to do that? He kind of got beat on the play on Saturday. Nico Collins beat him. So is that something he's kind of put behind him and just kind of move on to the next one? We'll see. CB2, kind of question mark. Is it going to be Cordell Flott? Nick McLeod's been spending all that time there. Is he going to be able to kind of win it out from McLeod? And then that spot corner, Andrew Phillips had really, like, a strong joint practice, and then he got hurt, so he's missing some time. So Isaiah Simmons has been in there. Other guys have been in there, too, kind of rotating. There's been a lot of rotation, trying to figure it out. And same thing in safety position, where Jason Pinnock is, you know, that starter. But then it's kind of between Dane Belton and Tyler Newbin, the new rookie, the Kylie Newman in this time, so he's kind of playing catch up, but he was getting a lot of starter snaps at last week, and then rotating first team reps with Zane Belton last week, and then in the preseason game this past Saturday. So there's a lot of rotation, a lot of moving parts, and the question is, will they be able to kind of keep it together come game time? It is really going to be interesting, especially with this new defensive coordinator, Shane Bowen, where the focus is really, and the emphasis is on the front four. So in theory, they can take care of it up there, but that leaves, again, as you mentioned, the possibility for big plays. So I don't know. It's kind of still in flux, and we'll see how it plays out, but it's really injuries have really kind of left their mark at this point, and that's been the big storyline, because you can't really tell who's going to win these battles just because they're not on the field.
Simmons is an interesting name. I forget about him from time to time. That was a top 10 pick, and they traded for him. I don't think he's, you know, really had a breakout moment. I think maybe it'll come this year. I was reading about how he's kind of a hybrid and how they plan on using him. Have you seen anything from him? He's such a freak athlete, and like just even his size for the position. I remember when he was coming out of Clemson and went to Arizona, you know, people were looking at him as like one of the top defensive guys to take. He's still very young. Any insight on how he's going to be used and how he's looked in camp?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously a really good athlete. He's been at slot corner, actually, lining up this past week and a half, filling in for Phillips. And you could tell, I mean, it might not be the strongest suit for him. He had a good coverage on a defensive play in the end zone, but then he got beat on that touchdown on Saturday, just kind of going horizontally. It wasn't great for him to kind of get that. He wasn't able to do that. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Can he find a fit? Or is he kind of rotating aimlessly until they find something? And right now, I don't know if they've been able to find that for him, despite his great athleticism and his skills. Obviously, they'll kind of turn to him for stuff, but whether that's the right fit or what is that right fit is still kind of percolating.
We're on the phone right now with Charlotte Carroll, who covers the New York Giants for The Athletic. Another question for you. I mean, this guy stood out. Everybody saw this play. From Elijah Chatham. I'd never heard of the
guy. I knew you were saying that as soon as you said
that. Yeah, because it was a ridiculous rundown, and it shows like the want to, the effort that you want to see out of a guy trying to make a team. Like they had in-season Hard Knocks, if they had this in preseason Hard Knocks, this guy would get featured just off that play. And I also saw that they made a trade. They traded away to the Dallas Cowboys Jordan Phillips, a defensive lineman. So can we talk about the unit on defense that I think is going to be very strong? I am a Florida State football fan, grew up rooting for the Noles, so I just think Brian Burns is a man amongst boys. I think that if he gets going, like, Giants fans are going to show up wearing Spider-Man costumes, and that number zero is going to get popular. We already know about Sexy Dexy doing his dance all the time and how dominant he is up the middle. And Kayvon, I think Kayvon this year, I mean, he had a good year last year, but I think this year he's definitely going to have an opportunity to have a big year, because they're going to have to figure out who to double over there between Dexter Lawrence and Brian Burns. Can you tell us a little bit more about the Giants' defensive line?
Yeah, no, I mean, you said it yourself. That's the hope, is that offenses will kind of have to decide whether they want to face Burns or Kayvon. And so far in camp, they've looked really strong. It's nice to see kind of Kayvon's progression. The key for him will be consistency. Can he bring that every week, and can he match Burns, and can they do that double tandem, which will be fascinating to watch in conjunction with, as you brought up, Dexter Lawrence, and kind of the next man up is Raheem Nunez-Rochez, Nacho. So that's kind of, you know, the starting front four, and then that kind of spot behind really had been actually used by, they've been playing Ryder Anderson, and they just waived him today. He suffered an injury in Saturday's game, so there's room for someone to step up. The competition that they've been having all summer has been, you know, rotating between guys trying to find, you know, the backup behind those guys. And Chapman has really brought it. He's made those first team reps, and then he's been playing first team a little bit here and there. And then on Saturday we saw that. And then that play just kind of sealed the deal. If he doesn't make the roster, I'd be shocked. Because that's the kind of thing you want to see from a he wasn't even like drafted. He was a tryout player that they brought in. So it's just a great story. And if he doesn't make the roster, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, so my last question for you actually is about, you know, the roster. Like, I saw Jalen Mills was cut, and he's a guy that's a proven NFL player. I guess he's obviously getting up there in age, but I thought he was a guy that potentially could help the Giants secondary. Now we're getting close to, you know, 53-man rosters. Is there a guy that's like a fringe guy, or maybe a name of a guy that's made some plays, like maybe even like an Isaiah McKenzie? Is there somebody that is on the chopping block that may or may not make the cut, may or may not make the 53-man roster?
Yeah, I think the injuries are going to be the key thing here, and I know that sounds very cliche, but it's just reality. I mean, Ryder Anderson felt like a lock, and then he's waived because of the injury situation. I think Isaiah McKenzie's in a good spot because of the injury situation. Gunner, who'd been kind of acting as the punt returner last year, he's been out with an injury for a couple of weeks. So that's going to kind of, you know, they have to turn to Isaiah McKenzie. We brought up Chapman. I think he's a good contender with a potential spot for a roster. Trying to think who else is a sneaky pick. I don't know. Jake Kubas is a offensive lineman, a rookie. You know, he's been in there with the first team at times. We'll see what happens this week and kind of going into next, if that kind of stays consistent. But I'm looking at him a little bit. They like him a lot. So we'll see.
They can't cut Tommy DeVito, right? They got to carry three quarterbacks. I mean, he's a cult favorite, a local guy. And now with, you know, Daniel Jones, couple interceptions, Drew Lock being early, they got to carry three quarterbacks, right?
You would think. I don't know. I mean, I think I had in my 53-man, I didn't have actually Tommy make the 53. I've had him on the practice squad. But there is, like, with the quarter, cause because of the quarterback rule changes here, where you can carry or you can elevate a third quarterback on game day kind of a situation, and there's unlimited for that. So that's a good
sorry to cut you off, because I just had a thought about that. I forgot about that rule, but, like, if he doesn't make the 53-man roster and goes to the practice squad, he'll have to go through waivers, right?
Yeah. So
he's not, he's too popular. He's not, somebody's going to take him. Somebody's going to come get him.
I don't know.
The Jets.
I don't know. We'll see.
The Jets should get him.
Oh, God. There you go. That's
they got
exactly
two injury prone quarterbacks between Aaron Rodgers and Tyrod Taylor. The Jets. I'm just saying.
we'll see what happens this week. Giants, Jets join practice. I mean, it'll be the battle for Tommy DeVito.
There you go. Perfect segue out. Charlotte Carroll from The Athletic covering your New York Giants. Thanks again, Charlotte.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Appreciate it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.